If I were to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the story of an Ethiopian eunuch, if you haven't looked at your sermon notes for tonight, you might be flipping through the book of Acts, trying to get to the story of Philip and the eunuch. But it turns out there's another remarkable account of an Ethiopian eunuch in the Bible, and that's in the book of Jeremiah. So if you would take your Bibles and turn to the Old Testament and turn to the book of Jeremiah, and we'll begin in chapter 39, Jeremiah 39. So the text for tonight in particular is the last few verses. You'll recognize this as the account that the end of what Jonathan read this morning. So verses 15 through 18 of Jeremiah chapter 39. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the guard. Go and say to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will fulfill my words against this city for harm and not for good, and they shall be accomplished before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword. But you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord. So at first look, and maybe this morning when Jonathan read this, you might think, man, this is an odd ending to the fall of Jerusalem. This Ethiopian eunuch gets a blessing from the Lord. So what's going on here? Well, there's actually a lot going on in these few chapters at this point in the book of Jeremiah. So just a very quick overview of Jeremiah 37 through 39. The king is Zedekiah. We'll say more about him later, but the quick summary is he's not a godly man. The Babylonians at this point have withdrawn from the city of Jerusalem, from their assault on Jerusalem, because the Egyptians have made their presence known. And chapter 37 opens up with Jeremiah saying, they're coming back. And even if you were able to defeat the Babylonians, their wounded people would rise up and burn down your city. It's pretty bleak for Judah at this time. So subsequently, the leaders throw Jeremiah in a dungeon. And then there's a secret meeting with Zedekiah, and Jeremiah tells Zedekiah, you're going to be given into the hand of the Babylonians. Well, Jeremiah gets a little bit of relief, and Zedekiah takes him out of the dungeon and imprisons him in the court of the guard instead. And from there, he still manages to get out God's word. He tells the people, if they want to live, they need to go over to the Babylonians. Well, this makes the officials really mad. And at this point, they take him and they put him in a cistern. So this is just a well. I think that might just be a good word for us to think about. They put him in a well, but there's a siege going on. The well's empty. All that's there is mud. So he's going to die. That's Jeremiah's situation. And at this point, Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, steps in, and God uses him to save Jeremiah. Chapter 38 ends with a final secret meeting between Jeremiah and Zedekiah, where even at the very end, God is holding out mercy to Zedekiah. He says one last time, if you obey the Lord, you will be spared from destruction. So chapter 39, which we heard this morning, the Babylonians take Jerusalem. Zedekiah tries to escape with his family, but the Babylonians catch him. They slaughter his family, put out Zedekiah's eyes, and take him to prison for the rest of his life. On the other hand, Nebuchadnezzar seems to deal quite kindly with Jeremiah, and that brings us to the last few verses that we just read, where we hear of the blessing that God gives on Ebed-Melech and this statement that the reason is because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord. So tonight we're going to meditate on faith. In particular, we're going to see that faith is a personal commitment to and dependence on the Lord that pleases him. So we're going to look at faith commended, we'll look at a warning against unbelief, and then we'll look at faith rewarded. So first, faith commended. So the passage we just read, verses 15 through 18, reveal God's blessing to the Ethiopian eunuch Ebed-Melech for his rescue of Jeremiah. And he gives the reason, because you have put your trust in me. So this raises the question to us, why does God make this action, why does God make this passage, why does he make it about faith? So consider what the verses could have said, but didn't. They could have just as well have said, because you have had compassion, great compassion on someone in need. They could have said, because of your bravery and strength, because you fought injustice against God's prophet, because you confronted sin at the highest level. They could have said, because you saved Jeremiah's life while at the same time having no regard for your own. All of these things were true. However, God gets to the heart of the issue. He emphasizes that true faith was at the foundation of Ebed-Melech's actions. So in Grudem's discussion of true faith, he points out that faith has three important components: knowledge, approval, and trust. It's not enough just to know the truth or to even agree with it. There are many examples in the Bible, and we'll see one in a few minutes later with Zedekiah. The trust part is paramount. Faith requires a personal commitment to and dependence on God. The Lord has given us an excellent example of faith in Ebed-Melech. So let's take a closer look at chapter 38, verses 7 through 13, where we actually see the account of Ebed-Melech saving Jeremiah's life. When Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, a eunuch who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah into the cistern, the king was sitting in the Benjamin gate. Ebed-Melech went from the king's house and said to the king, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they did to Jeremiah, the prophet, by casting him into the cistern. He will die there of hunger, for there is no bread left in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, "Take three men with you from here. Lift Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king, to a wardrobe in the storehouse, and took from there old rags and worn-out clothes, which he let down to Jeremiah in the cistern by the ropes. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Put the rags and clothes between your armpits and the ropes." Jeremiah did so. Then they drew Jeremiah up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the guard. So that's the account of the rescue of Jeremiah. So we'll look at two aspects of Ebed-Melech's faith, which show the trust that he had in God. First, consider his personal commitment. So Ebed-Melech, he was an Ethiopian eunuch. He's a foreign servant in a king's house. He didn't have any temptation. There was no cause for him to fall back on the laurels of his family heritage. He was a servant of the king's house from a foreign country. He was a eunuch. He was not a child of Abraham. And I think that was something that Neil talked about this morning, is that there was for us who are not children of Abraham, it's even a double blessing for us to think about that we can be given faith and salvation. And that's where Ebed-Melech is. He can't say, "I'm a child of Abraham, I can rest on that." He actually has to do something. He has to have faith. So another thing that shows his personal commitment is the fact that he acted alone. So Jeremiah, as you might guess, his influence is widespread. So earlier in chapter 38, right above, before the cistern, before Jeremiah ends up in the cistern, we see that the reason the Jewish officials threw him in the cistern in the first place was because of his negative influence on the military and the general population. So even when he's imprisoned, he's still having a huge impact on the people. In chapter 39, we see that even Nebuchadnezzar knows of Jeremiah. He had specific instructions for how Jeremiah should have been cared for during the conquest. Ebed-Melech was clearly not the only person in Jerusalem who knew about Jeremiah. Everyone knew who Jeremiah was. And yet, a foreign servant of the king's house is the one who God uses to save Jeremiah. None of the Jewish people stepped up. He acted alone. He had a deep personal commitment to God. So for the second aspect of Ebed-Melech's faith, let's consider his dependence on the Lord. There are several parts of this account that show his dependence on the Lord. He wasn't focused on himself. Otherwise, he would have been paralyzed by fear. If the Jewish officials had put God's prophet in a cistern to die, then what would they have done to him, a foreign servant who crossed them? Also notice Ebed-Melech's boldness. So verses 7 and 8 in chapter 38 tell us how Ebed-Melech confronted Zedekiah. Zedekiah was sitting in the Benjamin gate. He was doing public, He was doing the king's business publicly. This is very different from the other account, the other interactions, say, between Zedekiah and Jeremiah, where they happened privately. No, Ebed-Melech went publicly to the king in the gate and confronted him of the injustice and the sin. Finally, I'll just highlight one more time that Ebed-Melech was a foreign servant of the king. Realistically, there's nothing he could do that would cause the king to change his mind. Ebed-Melech must have known that only God could have changed Zedekiah's mind. So we've seen that Ebed-Melech's faith consisted of a deep personal commitment and dependence on the Lord. So a question we could ask ourselves are, a question I can ask myself, what are some areas of my life where my faith falls short? I don't live like Ebed-Melech. I focus on myself. I'm paralyzed by fear. I lack boldness. I lack dependence on God. For me, two areas where I struggle are with sharing the gospel and confronting sin. If I were to look back at my life, and I think if you were to look back at your life, you would probably agree the times when people shared the gospel with you or confronted sin in your life are some of the most important times in your life. Without them, our lives would be very different. We often pray for boldness. We often pray for wisdom with respect to sharing the gospel with others or confronting sin in people who we know and love. But perhaps we should consider going a little bit deeper, just like God goes a little deeper in this passage. Perhaps we need to be asking and considering asking for more faith and considering our faith, our personal commitment and dependence on the Lord. As Neil mentioned this morning, this kind of faith, selfless, not fearful, bold, dependence on God, only comes from the Lord. And this is good news, because God can give it to us. Let us ask him to strengthen our faith, to share the gospel, and confront sin. So we would be amiss if we considered these passages in Jeremiah and didn't address the glaring warning against unbelief. Zedekiah. He became king when he was 21 years old. He was a young adult. He reigned 11 years. He's introduced in verse 2 of chapter 37. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the word of the Lord that he spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. He didn't listen to God. He didn't lead in a way to show his people that they needed to listen to God. So he was an ungodly man. So regarding the three components of faith that we discussed, knowledge, approval, and trust, notice that Zedekiah did know the truth. He heard God's word directly from Jeremiah. He knew the truth. Also, Zedekiah, at least to a certain extent, agreed with the truth of God's word. He was content to keep Jeremiah around, imprisoned, and he periodically called on him so that he could know the future of his life. In verse 19 of chapter 37, during one of the secret meetings with Jeremiah, Jeremiah addresses the fact that Zedekiah knows that he speaks the truth when he says, "Where are your prophets that prophesied to you, saying, 'The king of Babylon will not come against you and against this land?'" Zedekiah did recognize that Jeremiah, in fact, was a true prophet of God. Yet Zedekiah lacks the trust, the personal commitment and dependence on God that composes true faith. This is most evident during his final secret meeting with Jeremiah. God offers mercy to the very end. Verse 17 of chapter 38 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officials of the king of Babylon, then your life will be spared. This city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live." Verse 20 says, "Obey now the voice of the Lord and what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life will be spared." Even to the very end, God extended mercy to Zedekiah if he would repent. However, we know in chapter 39, Zedekiah did not listen. The Babylonians took control. Zedekiah tries to escape, and destruction ensues, just as God promised. So, faith is an issue of the heart. Neither the contents of Zedekiah's heart nor the contents of our hearts remain hidden from the Lord. Please carefully consider the warning that is in Zedekiah's end. True faith is more than knowledge and even approval. It requires a personal commitment. we might be tempted to think, there's nothing for me to learn from Zedekiah. I'm not the king of Israel. I'm just a regular person. If God were to send a prophet to confront me of my sin or camp an army outside my house, I'd get the message. That's what we'd be tempted to think, right? We're just normal people. This passage doesn't apply to us. But keep in mind, we're just seeing the end of Zedekiah. We haven't considered, we don't have time to, we haven't considered how he got to this point. As we've heard many, many times from people preaching from this very pulpit, one of the ways that God punishes sin is with more sin. You might find yourself in the future with a heart much harder than you could ever imagine it would be. So there's a stirring passage earlier in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 18. Some of you, I'm sure it's very familiar to some of you, where God says, I'm the potter, and Israel is the clay. And he compassionately says he would take the spoiled vessel of Israel and rework it in what seems good to him. But the condition is that Israel turn from its sin. And the amazing thing is, Israel has traveled so far down the road of sin. God has let them progress further and further and further into sin that they come to a point where I imagine they would have never thought they would arrive. They say something completely irrational. In Jeremiah 18, verse 12, the people say to God's compassionate plea with them, they say, that is hopeless. We will follow our own plans and will act everyone according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. It's just unbelievable. They are completely irrational. They're so far down the road of sin. So even though we think we will never get there, please heed the warning. There was no hope left for the people of Israel. But there's still hope for us today. The story of Zedekiah is done. He's gone. It's too late. But your story is not yet written. The call from the Lord, the potter, remains the same. Repent. There's still time for you to turn to Christ. Jesus says, come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden. Hebrews 7:25 tells us Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all who would come to God through him. Please heed the warning in Zedekiah's end. So we've considered the because part of God's proclamation to Ebed-Melech, that faith is more than just knowledge or agreement, but it's a personal commitment to and dependence on God. God was pleased with Ebed-Melech's faith. And we read in the end of chapter 39 of the blessing that followed. So I'll read that one more time. Chapter 39, verses 15 through 18. But the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the guard. Go and say to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will fulfill my words against this city for harm and not for good, and they shall be accomplished before you on that day. But I will deliver you on that day, declares the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have put your trust in me, declares the Lord. So I think it's really interesting that these last few verses actually occur early on in time. Right? At the very beginning it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah when he was in the court of the guard. So this is before the city has fallen. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah with a message for Ebed-Melech. Not only did God spare Ebed-Melech's life during the conquest, he also gave him peace and rest ahead of time. God told him that Jerusalem was going to fall, but that he could have confidence that his life would be saved. And he said that ahead of time. Calvin says, this is the design of all God's promises, even to keep us from being disturbed, to giving us quietness of mind, and to cause us to look for the help promised to us. Consider Rahab during the conquest of Jericho. I'm sure it would have been very similar for her. Hebrews 11:30 and 31 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given them a friendly welcome to to the spies. Surely these situations that Ebed-Melech and Rahab found themselves in were nothing short of chaotic. Yet in faith, they could rest in the Lord. Another aspect of this is that God's word gave guidance and confidence to Ebed-Melech as he continued to live by faith. God told him in verse 17, "I will deliver you on that day, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid." Ebed-Melech could have confidence in God. He wasn't going to be caught up in the decision of Zedekiah to flee the city with his house that ended up in their destruction. So God gave him these promises ahead of time so that he could have rest and that he could confidently live in faith going forward. As those of us who have put our faith, those of us here that have put our faith in Christ, God has given us many promises. These give us peace and rest and confidence to continue to live by faith. So just consider in closing Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your kindness to us and giving us the good example of faith from Ebed-Melech. Lord, I pray that we would consider the deep personal commitment he had to you and his dependence on you. Lord, I pray that we would heed the warning that we see in the life of Zedekiah, Lord, that you give as a punishment for sin more and more sin. Lord, we can eventually find ourselves in a state where we act irrationally, Lord. Lord, please be merciful. Father, I pray that we would rest and have peace and confidence and live by faith in your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.